From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 15th day of September 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's from agmarket.net. We'll take a look back at last Friday's USDA report, particularly the NAST numbers and the changes that came in both the yield and the acreage for corn and soybeans. Ben Brown at the University of Missouri with Extension and FAPRI, the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute, will join us, and then we'll turn our attention to the weather forecast. Mark Russo of Everstream Analytics will be here, as usual, for a Monday afternoon on the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand at willag.org, willag.org. And one other note, for all those who made a gift last week during our fall fund drive, thank you. Thank you very much for the kind donation.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day at $4.23 and a quarter, down 6 3/4 of a cent. The March at $4.41, 6 1/4 cents lower. And the May futures in the corn at $4.51 and a quarter, down 5 3/4 of a cent. November beans 3 1/2 lower, $10.42 and 3/4. The settlement price, January at $10.61 and 3/4, down 3 1/2. And the March at $10.76 and a half, down 3 3/4 of a cent. Bean meal futures down $2.40. The bean oil, 9 cents higher for the day. Wheat futures up $0.05 in the December for the soft red at $5.25 a bushel. The hard red December at $5.14, 3/4 of a cent lower. And the live cattle future is in Chicago, finished at $236.27 and a half, up $4.35. Feeders $8.70 higher at $354.50, and lean hogs at $88.85. 22.5 cents higher. Crude oil at $63.25 a barrel, up 56 cents. Diesel fuel at $2.33 and a tenth of a cent, 4 1/10 higher, and gasoline at $1.95 a gallon. That's up about 2 1/10 of a cent. Here to talk about these numbers and much more is Kurt Kimmel. He's from AgMarket.net out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Ty. Glad to be here again. Thank you.
We will take a look at the numbers from the USDA on Friday of last week with you in just a moment, but I am interested in that $8.70 move in the feeder cattle. That's the October futures. You had to be watching that with interest as well, I would suppose. What's happening in that marketplace today?
Oh, boy, yes. It's worse than the pork bellies back in the day. It's amazing how fast, how volatile. But if you kind of just look at a price chart, it seems like about once a month the feeder market breaks about for 2 days or so, then back up. Here we go again. It's just continued concern about the tightness of the beef supply here in the U.S. I think we'll go back up and test the 10 and 20 day moving averages and kind of see what happens at that level. The commodity funds kind of liquidated in through here, slipped out some long. So we'll see if they want to reposition back long or continue to kind of slip out as we move forward in through here. The thing is, this is all great and everything, but for the consumer, man, it's just kind of bad news. You go to some meat counters in through here, these higher cut-ins are just getting out of reach of the American public in through here. So it does help beef, and not beef, but pork and poultry consumption, though. So we'll see if this trend continues. If you draw a downtrend line on the chart, that's where we're going to be at here later on the week to test, see if we go through it or not, Todd.
On Friday, USDA released the September crop production and World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates report. They changed yield, dropped that for corn and soybeans, and they upped acreage, actually, for both. The marketplace took that in stride on Friday, reacted, I think, lower very quickly, but then turned around, gained a dime for the day in the corn. They took 6 3/4 of a cent off that today. Can we have a turnaround Tuesday tomorrow, do you suppose?
Boy, we'll see in through here. I think we'll find some stability. But the bottom line is we need more bearish reports. I think this is the first time in a long time we saw a disappointing report. and the market went sharply higher, or well, it seemed to me sharply higher compared to what we've been used to. But I kind of feel maybe the market got ahead of itself. When you look at the overall numbers, it's kind of amazing. We found an extra 3.5 million corn acres being planted. In past history, it seems like when there's acreage in question, it takes 4 to 6 months before they figure it out to subtract acres. But adding acres, they're fairly quick on it. But we'll see how things unfold here. The demand on the corn might be just a little high, but you start taking away demand, I think that might be a mistake. I think demand still continues to be there. But it's going to be a market we're going to trade for quite some time as we move forward. The strength, though, I think is short covering from funds. They're estimated to be short about 70,000 corn and about 7,000 bean contracts. But technically, we've moved above some resistance levels. We're in a position here where fundamentally we're starting to see some concerns about this August and September weather. You know, we've gone through some rust concerns, tar spot concerns, dry weather concerns, and early yield reports continue to be highly, highly variable. Most of the corn's been coming in, you know, disappointing in the eastern belt through here. There has been some reports of 20 bushel better than a year ago. So this yield data is going to be listened to and watched to fairly closely as we move on. Soybean wise, didn't hear a whole lot of yields here today, but as of end of last week, 50 to 70 bushel, a lot of 9% beans. So it's going to be important to see some moisture to get these get the bean moisture back up, because there's going to be a lot of shatter, field loss, and just plain loss from light bean test weights. The double crop beans is the main concern. Boy, guys that tried double crop beans here throughout central Illinois, very disappointed. Just wonder if we have any pods on them at all. Even southern Illinois ran out of moisture. So the double crop beans are going to be watched fairly closely here.
Hey, thanks much. We appreciate you taking so much time with us again today.
You bet. Take care, Todd.
You too. That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with AgMarket.net out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us each and every Monday here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do visit our website. The address is willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find information from the agricultural economist, the animal scientist, and the crop scientist each and every day of the week. There's usually a new article on every business day. So check it out at willag.org. And if you scroll down the page, you'll find a calendar of events. And on Thursday of this week, you'll see that Gary Schnitke and Nick Paulson are hosting a webinar. It's free, called Farmland Values and Rental Agreements in Illinois for 2026. You want to sign up for that, whether you listen live at 11 a.m. on Thursday or not. You can listen after the fact. Be sure to register for the Farmland Values and Rental Agreements webinar. That's coming up on Thursday at 11 a.m. Sign up for the webinar. You can watch it on YouTube after the fact, but you'll get an email telling you that it's already taken place and or that you can listen to it live if you register today. Again, that's in the calendar of events at willag.org. If you've listened to the program long enough, you know that from time to time I will talk about those who have made a difference in my life. Sometimes they're mentors, and other times they're friends, other times they are friends of my family. Today, I'd like to talk a little bit about Governor Jim Edgar. Actually, I really didn't know Jim very well until the last 15 years. In fact, on the Monday prior to the Farm Progress Show, I made a quick trip to his home in Springfield and picked up his dog. My wife and I have cared for Jim's dogs for about 15 years when he travels, and on this occasion, they were expecting to go to a wedding. I sat down for the first time on that evening with Jim and Brenda for about an hour at their kitchen table. We had a discussion about a lot of things. He was jovial, happy, even. it seemed, and I was glad that that was the case. Jim Edgar was a good man. He did many great things for the state of Illinois. He balanced the budget. He made sure that money was flowing to public schools. He liked the state fair. That's not really something most people think, and I asked him about that some time ago, and he was a little taken aback. He really liked the state fair. But more importantly, he was somebody who urged everybody across the aisle to work together. To that end, he worked at Harvard and here at the University of Illinois, and even at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library, to build out a pool of potential future legislators that would be able to reach across the aisle and get things done in a noble and kind and talkative fashion, even. Jim Edgar passed away at the age of 79. I will miss him greatly and send my condolences to his family. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Our theme music is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. Find us online at willag.org, that's willag.org, where you'll find a new article each and every business day from the animal scientist, the crop scientist, and the agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. And in the calendar of events on this Thursday, you'll find a way to register for the free farmland values and rental agreements webinar with Gary Schnitke and Nick Paulson. Don't wait, get signed up today. That's in the calendar of events at willag.org. Ben Brown, agricultural economist at the University of Missouri with FAPRI, the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute, an extension there, now joins us to take a look at a broader perspective of the marketplace. You've had some time to review and think about the USDA reports, particularly the crop production numbers that were released by NASS on Friday morning last week. They updated both acreage and yield. Can you tell me about those changes and what you think they might mean?
Sure. Yeah. So I think the biggest surprise for everybody was the increase in U.S. corn planted area. Now, USDA has started incorporating FSA data as early as August now. So these are certified acreage reports. And they've always incorporated them throughout the growing season as the data came available. It's getting a little bit more efficient. And so some of our contacts at USDA, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, they announced that they were going to start incorporating that in August. And so we saw a rise in planted acreage for corn in August, and I think most people thought that that was kind of the big wave. And so then to follow it up in September with another 1.5 million acres of additional corn planted area to take it up to 98.7 million acres, which I believe, I think off the top of my head, that's the largest U.S. corn planted acreage since like 1936, if I remember right. And so that was probably the biggest surprise. Not saying it's a surprise from the standpoint that I don't believe it, because all winter, as you know, we were traveling around last year and even in the spring, it gave the appearance that we were going to plant a lot of corn acres. Every other crop was trying to give corn acreage. I think the farmer angst is going to come from the standpoint of we've now had two large revisions this month that weren't represented in the June acreage report, which, you know, for corn farmers, if this had been captured in those June reports, it would have been a bigger bearish factor than what that June report was. So, we're now getting more supply just due to higher acreage. They did reduce the yield. I guess to swing back over to the yield, did reduce the yield 2 bushels to the acre, down to 186.7. That's still almost 7.5 bushels per acre higher than where we were last year for a U.S. national average yield. So large corn supplies across the board.
Does it change your feeling about the marketplace going forward very much?
Yes and no. From the standpoint of corn prices, I would say that I'm undersold in my corn markets. We just haven't had a whole lot of chances to sell corn. We're harvesting now, and we're undersold for where we'd like to be. the global corn market is still rather tight. There's a lot of places around the world that need corn. And so my hope, and the reason I started off by saying we were undersold, is my hope is that this winter we get maybe a little bit of a weather scare in South America that gives us an opportunity to pick up some price support on the corn side. So that's from the standpoint of, that's what I've been thinking. This extra 1.5 million acres of corn certainly, I think, dampens some of my expectations of what we could see on the corn side. But I'm still thinking we see a little bit, you know, higher prices as we get ready to start the South America corn planting season. And that'll be about around in December. That might be our best opportunity for some higher corn prices this year.
So there is quite a bit of time to wait if that's what you're hoping for. I mean, it would be, well, all the way until next summer, really, before you get a harvest out of that. There can be a lot of things happening in the midst of it. As you suggested, producers really undersold. Honestly, I almost thought that last Friday's dime rally might have been a place to, if you had things going across the scale to market. I don't know whether you would agree with that or not, but it seemed that way. You can talk about that if you want. On the soybean side, there were just some minor changes. They did drop yield by 1/10 of a bushel to 53.5, and they raised harvested acres there by 2/10 as well. Of 1 million acres. So I don't know, what you think of that set of numbers?
Yeah, so the soybean numbers, I don't think we have a full picture of the U.S. soybean yield yet. September is always a little bit tricky. I think we'll see a better representation of the U.S. soybean crop in the October report from a yield side. They did reduce exports 20 million bushels for this new crop. I think that has the potential to move lower even. And so I think any changes that we see in yield will be partially offset with reductions in exports as well.
Any other things that we ought to know about before I let you go?
No, I think that's about it. The one thing back on the corn, which I hate to go back to crop, but the one thing on the corn side is some pretty sizable demand numbers for that new crop 2025-26 corn use. And so I think, you know, there definitely is strong corn use out there, and that's helping to support some of these prices. Or, you know, even though these prices aren't overly strong, and we're sitting here saying, well, this is below profit, still rather robust demand, and that's what we like to see, because then if you start to get a challenge in South America in a tight global market, we could see corn prices rally quickly, but. Again, you got to have some type of catalyst to get there.
Hey, thank you much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Ben Brown. He's an agricultural economist at the University of Missouri with FAPRI, the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute and Extension. Let's check the weather forecast now with Mark Russo from Everstream Analytics. Hello, Mark. Thanks for being with us again on a Monday.
Hello, Todd. Thanks for having me.
It has been dry, really dry, particularly in my part of the world in East Central Illinois, but lots of the Corn Belt to the east and to the south of here has been dry. Mm-hmm. And even Iowa, other places have not had a lot of rain recently. Do we expect that to change? Because there is some worry now about the Mississippi River and its ability to move grain swiftly and easily.
Well, Todd, for this week, the pattern is still the same. It still looks to be on the dry side much of this week across Illinois, let alone much of the Corn Belt. Also, temperatures remaining well above normal with more, you know, kind of summer-like heat here for several more days. The opportunity for better rainfall is going to come up next week. It starts in some of the western belt here this weekend and starts to shift eastward over time. It doesn't look like any kind of huge rain event, but it does look like widespread light to moderate rains via several systems will be working their way across the Midwest next week.
So light to moderate enough to begin to rejuvenate or at least to maintain water levels in the Mississippi, Missouri, the Illinois, and the Ohio rivers?
Yeah, likely enough to at least stabilize things and, you know, prohibit from at least dropping, which has been the trend now for, you know, well over a month. But it doesn't look heavy enough or over a long duration amount of time to start, you know, recovering things in a significant way. But certainly something to watch here. How long does this does next week's better rainfall pattern last?
Now, on next week, does that come with colder weather, and does it get colder as we move into the month of October?
No, it doesn't look to be accompanied by colder weather. In fact, temperatures look to remain above normal, just not to the levels of this week. No sign right now of any, at least, return to the anomalous cold like what we had in recent weeks.
Does it appear in South America they're still set up for the return of rainfall and the start of their planting season?
It does. In Mato Grosso, let alone much of center west Brazil, rain activity is expected to develop starting later on this week, continuing into next week. That would be a very normal start to the rainy season for that area and initiate more planting. Still is some little bit of debate in the magnitude of rains and the exact location of where the highest amounts are going to be, but the overall pattern is certainly becoming much more conducive for rain development and the start of the rainy season. The only area from now through the end of the month that could miss out initially is Mato Grosso do Sul, but again, that's not of any immediate concern.
Spring, of course, arrives the further south you go, the later it is. So any issues that you're thinking about as it's related to crops in southern Brazil, Paraguay, and into parts of Argentina?
No concerns at this time, although I did want to point out that the pattern is again turning more active across Argentina, and soil moisture right now is pretty abundant for this time of year in mid-September, so that'll continue to maintain those abundant soil moisture levels. That's great for winter wheat, but it could start to interfere with a little bit of summer crop planting across that area. So, you know, not a concern now, but just something to keep an eye on.
Hey, thank you much. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online on demand at willag.org. That's willag.org. And there at the top of the page, you'll find a way to continue making a gift to Illinois Public Media in support of agriculture. It's quick, it's simple, and easy to do. I know we finished our fall fun drive up, but I'll have you in the tractor cab and the combine cab for the next month or so. So you expect me to remind you from time to time that if you've been listening and it makes a difference, please do make a kind donation, and thank you for doing that. We'll talk with you again tomorrow here on the Closing Market Report at the same time or as a podcast. Look for it in your favorite podcast applications or play it directly, again, from willag.org. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.